Okay. Hey everyone. Welcome back to Brain Basement. I have a guest on the show today, my friend and fellow expat spouse, Sina Jones. So welcome, Sina, and thanks for being here.
Thanks, Annalie. I'm excited to chat with you today.
So today, Sina and I are going to talk about evacuations. Really fun, light topic. And most listening probably know what we mean when we say evacuation, but just to clarify, these are times when living abroad, embassy personnel need to leave for some reason, and usually it has to do with safety or health. And we're discussing evacuations within the context specifically of being a part of the U.S. diplomatic community, but of course these types of things can happen to all expats. And I wanted to just clarify up front, a couple terms that we may use today are ordered departure or OD. And that means that specific personnel have to leave and then they don't really have a choice. And then authorized departure or AD, which means there's an option to leave, but it's up to families and individuals what they decide. So did I leave anything out there, Sina? Do you feel like?
No, but we can define terms when we start using them. I'm sure there will be a few.
Yeah, exactly. So, but before we start, I'd love to, for listeners to hear a little bit more about you. So do you want to share, like, how long have you been in the Foreign Service, a little bit about you and your family?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Sina Jones, and our family has been in the Foreign Service. Now in 1 month, we'll hit our 16-year mark, which I kind of can't believe it's been so long. That is a really big chunk of life when you really think about it. And I didn't realize it. It just kind of happens. We have served in several places, I think five. We've been in Paris, Sri Lanka. My husband did a tour in Afghanistan. We were in Austria. Where else were we? Moscow, Azerbaijan, and we are back in the States for a time now. And we have three kids. My oldest, she was 5 months old when we joined the department. And so she spent her whole life overseas. And so I had one child overseas and one we left and came back to the United States to have. So a lot of just different experiences in there.
Yeah, cool. And what are you up to right now, just for the sake
Yeah, we're back living in the United States. And my husband still works for the State Department, but it's been kind of great for me to be back in the States, because so for that 16 years, we were always overseas or in training to go overseas. And I was also transitioning into being a new mom during that whole time, right? So I was learning to become an expat and to become a stay-at-home mom and to be a mom and then to always have these moves. And that's a whole different episode topic, which we've covered to some extent. But so it was just a real transition period. So it's the first time I have been settled enough to like choose my own course. Mm-hmm. It's really me. I am in a master's program for social work right now, in my second semester, and I love it so much, so much. So
that's fantastic. Congratulations. That just makes me thrilled to hear about that. And there's so many things that we could touch on, for other episodes, even your year where your spouse was in Afghanistan. I feel like those unaccompanied posts are chock full of interesting topics that we could talk about, but we'll have to save that for another day. And that is one reason we have this podcast, is because not everyone understands these things that we experience in this life. And I think this topic today is particularly on point and timely right now, that of evacuations, because it's happening right now, specifically in Ukraine. We heard from some folks in China that they're having to leave. And I know we kind of touched on this a couple weeks ago. Angie has been in Kiev, as we all know, and there's been some increase in political unrest there, and she's had to leave. And so she's settling in her new location and she'll be back. But I think this is one of the things that, kind of what you're saying, there's so much to talk about. And one of those things that we hear about evacuations and people experiencing evacuations, but we don't always hear the specific stories around these evacuations and how they impact individuals and families and the emotions that come up. And I think it's important to highlight these stories. And you have experienced a couple. So we wanted I thought you'd be a great person to talk about it.
Come up. Yeah. That was immediately when you're talking about friends going through it right now. I have several friends that are having to go through it at this moment. And I was overcome with the emotions because there's so much loss and sadness that comes around an evacuation. And it's really emotional. And my heart just took a moment to really think about the friends that are on flights in that moment of unknown. And it's a lot. It's a lot.
So. It is. And, you know, Angie and I touched on this a little bit a couple weeks ago, that she, for some reason, was just feeling really at peace, like everything was going to be okay. But the fact is, like, everyone has their own experience. And I think to touch on one person's experience, Angie's, and then yours, it just helps everyone to be able to reflect a little bit about their experience. And when Angie was in the air flying, I had kind of the same experience where I was just thinking, I just like was kind of flexing all day for her. And like you said, these friends that you're thinking about that are evacuating, because once you've gone through an evacuation, whether it was ordered or authorized, I think you have some glimpse into what it does feel like to have to leave your home and experience that disruption in your life. So maybe you can tell us where were you?
Right. So
how many have you had? Yeah.
And so we've done two, and they've both been very different and for different reasons. And our first one, we were living in Moscow, and I wish I could remember what dates would that have been, 2016 or 17. We were living in Moscow, and the Russian government decided to downsize the amount of personnel the US government was allowed to have in Moscow. And so we were not PNG'd, but we were forced to leave based on embassy numbers. So that came for me that was really hard. We really loved that post so much. I don't even know where to begin with why it was hard. I could go all over the map because maybe I haven't done all the work I thought I had on it, but we weren't anticipating moving before it happened in July. We were on home leave. So we were on vacation back with our family, and everything was supposed to be, we were assured that we would be staying. We weren't part of that. We were leaving. And we woke up early one morning and found out that there'd been an unanticipated change. And we were one that fell through. And I just remember that morning trying to figure out how we were going to tell our kids. And at that time, we had one that was going into sixth grade, fourth grade, and then we had a three going on three at that time. So they were young, but the older two, old enough to have had friends there and to really feel part of the community. The community there was the first time we lived on a compound, and they would walk themselves to school. So they had really gotten a taste of being able to be a little independent. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just an embassy compound either. So they have, you know, community members would open their door and yell out at my son to hurry up and get to school. They could see him walking too slow. Mm-hmm. So there was really this, people surrounding us that were just really, it was a community. And so to lose that, we were really heartbroken. And I just remember telling our kids, we just decided to tell them because we were going to be talking about it all the time. So we just sat them down and we're like, we told them we'd be leaving Moscow, and we all just sat and cried. We just cried. Mm-hmm. It was a really sad moment. We actually had a couple of weeks to get out, which is more than most people have. And we decided, there were so many, we were worried about all the unknowns that could happen in the transition because there's so little was known. We didn't know where we were going, how long we would be allowed to have, like the department would give us to make those decisions, where he'd be allowed to go if we had to be in Virginia, or if he was able to take the rest of his home leave. There was just so much unknown. So we decided we were going to take our kids back with us to do the pack out and say goodbye, because we were just really afraid of not knowing where they would be and something happening to separate our family in an unknown way. It seems, I don't remember why all those fears were there, but we just wanted to keep our family together. We went back, we said goodbyes, we did some last very small tourist things, packed up. And our family still talks today. We, you know, the embassy sent a van and a driver to take us away the morning, and it was dark outside. And as we pulled, we went through the woods, these woods in Moscow. And as we drove out of those, our car was really quiet. And our sixth grader just said, "I really don't want to leave." And we all just cried in the car, all of us. We just cried together. And I think for me, that's what I think about a lot when I think about evacuations, is just, you don't want to necessarily be going, but it's home, but it's not your home. And I think that's really the challenge, is it's this home that you love, and we knew we'd probably never get to go back. Right. And so that last drive was really painful.
Yeah.
And something they, you know, my kids were telling me the other day, they still remember crying in the car as we left the woods. So
and I mean, thanks for sharing that personal example, because I think, like I said earlier, you know, we kind of talk about evacuations kind of in this like zoomed out, like impersonal way, but when we get down to the you know, day-to-day experiences of when you heard you had to leave, and then how did your kids handle it, and then what was it like actually like physically moving away from that home that you loved so much. It's like, I'm just grateful that you would share that story, because I think a lot of people can relate to kind of that step-by-step process of leaving. And I think even if it's a post that you not necessarily, you know, loved, it's still your home. And to be, to have someone else tell you that that can't be your home anymore, and you don't, P.S., you don't know what's going to be your home, but all you know is that you have to get on an airplane and leave. I can see that there's immense loss there, but especially in a situation where you actually were in a place that you loved, and you, it sounds like you had this super robust and supportive community, that could be so hard. How long were you in Russia before you had to leave?
1 year.
1 year. Okay. Yeah.
3 years we were going to be there.
Three total was supposed to be. Okay. Tell me about your second experience with evacuation.
Right. So the second one was was it March 2020? Is that when we left?
Yeah.
You and I together on the same airplane. So it was March 2020. So it was just, it was authorized departure. You can correct me if I get anything wrong, but it was early, before there were worldwide orders. The United States had not gone into lockdown yet. And we really weren't sure how long it would be for. I think I went on to the air, like how long we were leaving. I think in my mind, I got on the airplane anticipating I wouldn't be back until like September.
Mm-hmm. That was the same.
I never went back.
Yeah. Fast forward to Virginia. Yes.
Yeah, that was my second one. That was a really different experience, because how long did it take us to get ready to go? Once we knew we were going, was it like 48, 72 hours?
I want to say there was a lot of back and forth, like, should we go or should we stay? Because we knew it was kind of coming. But by the time they gave us the go ahead, I'd say 72 hours. Yeah. Yeah, we figured it out and bought our tickets.
Yeah, and I remember when we started talking, like when the rumbling was happening that maybe we'd go on it, our family was, because authorized, we didn't necessarily have to go at that point. Mm-hmm. Our family was like, oh, we're fine. We're going to stay here, stay together. And I remember Nate telling me, yeah, Jeremy and Anna Lee, they think that Anna Lee will go home with the kids. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. No, I think I'm going to stay. Mm-hmm. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, I'm going with Anna Lee. Like, just felt like, and I don't remember, Nate and I were talking about this. I don't remember what the final, but somehow it was that you had made the choice was like the prompting out the door for me, like knowing it was just kind of the best interest for my kids. And I don't necessarily even think it was a fear of the disease, or I think it was just an abundance of caution, but there was something else for me why I decided to go ahead and take my kids and leave quickly.
Yeah. And it's so interesting that that was your experience, because I'd say mine was like almost the mirror, like mirrored experience of yours, that when I heard that you were feeling like confident in going, I felt more confident. And I felt like, well, I'm not going to be flying with my husband, but if I can get on the same flight as Sina and her kids, like everything's going to be okay. And I just felt like this confidence in like, it's going to be okay, even though we don't know a lot of things, you know.
Yeah.
And we're going to see our husbands again, and if we'll be back, and when we'll be back. And
yeah, and that experience really is so, that was so different for me than the Moscow one, because it was, I was like checking off boxes, right? The Moscow one, I was in mourning, and I was everything, constantly crying. I remember walking around in Moscow when we were leaving Moscow, walking around, it was like 4 a.m, maybe a little bit later, but it was light outside, right? Because it's summer. And running into one of Nate's colleagues who also found out last minute he had to leave and hadn't been anticipating being one of them to go. And the two of us out on an early morning walk, and we're just crying about leaving. So that was like the tenor of the Moscow departure. It was just so, so trauma, so sad. Mm. But leaving Azerbaijan was just, it was like, there was a level of empowerment, a level of, this is the right thing for my family. This is how we're going to handle it. Everything's fine. Let's go.
Yeah. What do you think made the difference? Do you think that, you know, being able to make the decision on your own, the decision is yours versus someone else telling you that you had to leave, made a big difference? Or what are some of the things around that that you think were made it different?
I think absolutely that it was a choice helped for sure. I think the lack of finality of leaving, right? We thought we could go back. So it wasn't as definitive of goodbyes. We still were saying goodbyes because there was so much that we were unsure of. Mm-hmm. So our kids got last play dates in with friends. We're still doing a lot of those things, but it wasn't, it must have just been empowering to make the choice ourselves, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good question.
Yeah, and it sounds like you had such a good community in Russia and like a vision, right? That you had a life there and such a supportive community. And yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And for our experience, you and I talked about this, but for our experience in Azerbaijan. So we went from Moscow. We didn't know where we were going. We just took what came. Azerbaijan's what came. We got another year before we went to Azerbaijan. So we were never, Azerbaijan for us was always second fiddle. Like we always explain it to people as if like Moscow, like we tell people not in the foreign service, imagine that you were assigned to the New York offices. And suddenly your bosses told you that that position was no longer available and you're being reassigned to Nebraska. What's in Nebraska? Nothing's in Nebraska. It's backwoods, backwater. Like, so that was our mentality in Azerbaijan. We just were the New Yorkers who were offended that we got moved to who knows where, Nebraska.
Right.
Or anyone from Nebraska.
Yeah. Well, essentially, it doesn't matter where that place would have been. It could have been like Paris or Malaysia, I think Malaysia is awesome, but it's like, essentially it's the plan B, right? So whatever that plan B would have been, you guys were under immense stress and trauma, it sounded like you said.
Yeah, that's the thing I think about evacuations, that too often, especially within our diplomatic community parlance, we talk about evacuations so much from the departmental standpoint. Mm-hmm. And what I needed was to talk about it from my family's standpoint and my family's needs. And we have those, you know, we have a community office and we have the family liaison office, but ultimately their role is not for us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I want to tell everyone, it is traumatic. It's a family trauma. Mm-hmm. It's a huge moment of disruption. And that has to be dealt with for a family. And
yeah.
So dealing with it when we were leaving for our next departure, and perhaps that was what made it easier. We're like, well, here we go again. It's fine.
Right. Yeah. Like you already knew how to deal with that. How have you guys dealt with it? If you don't mind me asking, like, what are some of the things that have made, since you left Russia, how have you dealt with it? Like as you yourself, as a mom, how have you, you know, have there been ways that you've been able to support your kids through dealing with this? How has that unraveled?
Yeah, I'm trying to think through ways because it's such a timeline, right? There's so many years that have gone on.
Yeah.
But when we talk about the disruption that it is in life, I will share, it's fairly personal, but not inappropriate, but when we talk about these disruptions, so my youngest was 2 turning 3, and we had done IVF ICSI process in Austria, mm-hmm. Prior to going to Moscow, and that's how we had our youngest. And we were still really interested in maybe still having more kids, and the facility in Austria was still had our embryos and eggs and whatever. Mm-hmm. And so the plan was we were still exploring that option still, and it was accessible from Moscow. And so when we were ordered to leave to deal with everything that comes with a departure and then not being in the vicinity to have those life plans, we weren't anywhere near Austria anymore. And I wasn't in a place to explore expanding our family. Suddenly what seems like such a administrative, we don't have space for you, became very much a determination of our family size. And so for me, there's a lot of healing that had to happen and a lot of mourning that had to happen outside of just moving from Moscow. So that was very much something I was dealing with for quite a while. I think probably a good year after we were in Azerbaijan. You know, friends there that had babies, I couldn't hold the babies because I was mourning the fact that that evacuation kept me from having more children because of the time of life I was in, right? You know?
Yeah.
So that's one way. I don't know if that's how I dealt with it, but that's a lot to work through because of an evacuation on my level. In terms of my kids, middle school is rough for knowing who you are. And so for them to have that major disruption of plan in middle school, where there was so much not knowing on their parents' side as well, that was a lot to help them work through and recover. We're super open about finding them the support they need to talk with people, and just have outside resources for that. So that's the way we've dealt with it. Did that answer the question?
Yeah. And I think I love, like, I appreciate you sharing an example, like a personal life experience that was happening to you because you were being evacuated, but also, like, it's unique to you. You know, it's everyone, and I guess my point I'm trying to make is these evacuations don't happen in a vacuum. Like they happen, but they happen on top of life's experiences that are happening. And And so it's not just the loss of, you know, a home or leaving a place that you thought you were going to live for 3 years, but it has this domino effect on all these other things that you were kind of planning on. And so it's not just adjusting for a new home, but it's, I think when I left Azerbaijan, I imagined it as like a puzzle almost. And like, I had this view of what our lives were going to look like. And then I just felt like that puzzle just kind of got turned upside down, and we were supposed to put it back together in a new way with pieces I didn't even know existed at that time. And so I imagine, you know, everyone's experience with evacuation is so unique to them, and having experiences just as, you know, huge as you were saying with, you know, your family size was kind of dependent on whether or not you were going to stay, and you weren't just processing evacuation, you were processing other things. And I think that's true for anyone that would experience this. Were there any things that happened around these evacuations that made it, that were helpful? Like, can you reflect back and think, were there things that you did or other people did around you that that helped in some way?
Yeah, it's a great question. And interestingly, what was most helpful for me was connecting with the people that were going through it then. Mm. Because anyone, from my viewpoint, anyone that wasn't in what I was in at that moment, I appreciated the heartfelt, like the sincere ways they were reaching out to me that never felt inauthentic in any way. But I just felt like they didn't know. They couldn't know what I was going through. And it was the individuals that are going through exactly what I was going through that I needed to chat with, that I needed to talk with, or even just sit with. Sometimes it was those silences that I'd share with individuals that we didn't even have to say anything because we knew we were feeling the same thing. So it was the people going through what I was right then that I needed so much.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And it resonates with me. I think of a time when we were leaving Baku, and like you said, maybe you weren't even saying anything, but just being in each other's presence was helpful. And I remember thinking, you know, saying goodbyes isn't always natural anyway. Sometimes it's awkward and clunky and just like, let's get this over with. But put that in a context of evacuation where you're being forced to say goodbye in a matter of like, I don't know, you know, 2 days, or we're running around saying our goodbyes to people. And some of the goodbyes were like a 5 minute, like, you've meant so much to us. How am I possibly supposed to be able to explain to you, you know, how the last 3 years have meant in 5 minutes? But I remember saying goodbye to someone that led this workout group that I had been a part of, and it had meant a lot to me because she kind of helped me, pulled me out of a stage of life that was super hard for me, and it got me out of my house. And what she had done for me, I could never really put into words, but we were kind of saying goodbye. And really in the end, there were no words, but I was just able to say thank you. And we kind of both felt it, like how much she had done for me, and like a gratitude for our friendship and our relationship. And that was it, you know? And so I think, that's a huge part of evacuations too, is saying goodbye in a rushed way is really hard. And I guess it's never going to look perfect. But I like what you said, just that the people that seemed to help the most were people that were going through it at the same time you were. That makes sense to me.
I think it's okay to give ourselves permission to like feel like others don't understand, right? It's okay, like, you know, everyone wants to be understanding, and so it's okay to just be like, no, you don't get it. Like, even anyone listening to this is like, well, my situation's different. It is different. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, find those people that you need, you know, to just gain the strength from.
Yeah.
But looking back, it just has me thinking like how powerful it was. Those were such hard moments, and they're so far removed for me now. It's amazing to see like those actually have been some of, it seems strange to say, some of the best moments in the Foreign Service experience that I've had. But when it comes to authenticity and connection, it has been through that loss we all had together. Those are really the people that when we come together, there is an unspoken understanding that has deepened the relationships we had. Like I can think of two families that we went through this with, three families specifically from Moscow. And there is this comfort we have with each other that I don't think we ever would have had had we stayed for 3 years together. Mm. I don't think our friendships would be today what they are, because we understand, you know, not just the spouses who went through it, but the employee, the loss of career opportunities that came through some of these departures, the trajectory of their career, the specialization, the delay it now has on EERs and progression. It's just a change for everyone. Yeah,
there's so much to touch on really, and the impact it has on families when they have to be separated, because a lot of times the working spouse stays while the other family members go. And, you know, I feel like we could do a whole another episode on that, but I like that you touched on that point of that going through hardship with some of these friends actually made you closer. Maybe even closer than had you, yes, lived out the duration of your assignment.
Yeah. And kind of on that, like when we think about the employee staying, I know we don't give advice, but if I could just share what I've learned from these two, is that your family has got to, we know this, your family has got to stay the priority. And the needs of the department are so secondary, because no matter what sacrifices you think you're making, the department for the department for the work, the department will never remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is forgotten as soon as it's done. Mm-hmm. But your family, some of this stuff they are going through because of these departures, they will not forget. They are leaving lasting marks, and how you navigate through that is so important. And I would just really caution that narrative we have built in where needs of the department start outweighing it, because there are individuals that will remember the sacrifices you make, but the department, it's gone. It does not matter. And so just really try to balance that is my.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I, you know, in situations of authorized departure, which was our situation in Azerbaijan, it was hard to make that decision. Not that I'm saying that ordered departure is easier, because I don't think it is, but I think there is an element with authorized departure where, how are you supposed to make that decision? You know, and for everyone, it's going to be absolutely different, because everyone has their own story, their own reasons. But I think that what you just said is just something really important piece to keep in mind when the decision is in your hands. You know, for us, we were leaving post anyway in a few months. So, you know, the kids and I decided to leave, and my husband had to stay and finish his assignment. In hindsight, there are so many times I've thought, well, we might have done that differently, but the fact is we, you know, you make the decision that you can, the best one you can with the information you have.
Yeah.
But I want to say it was a very, very hard time for both my spouse without us and for me being alone with the kids in Virginia, even though we landed in a house that was, you know, we owned and it was very comfortable. And, but I'm just glad you brought up that point, because for us, it's been a huge part of our decision-making in the Foreign Service.
Yeah, and I just remember it was such a hard one for you too, because we never anticipated, like, I'm just thinking back at, we didn't anticipate a lockdown in the United States, right?
Right.
So we came to the US and we anticipated that we'd be there able to support each other. And I'd be like at your house or you'd come over to mine. And suddenly we're in this lockdown and you're in the home with your kids by yourself. And how do we reach out and help each other? That was a really, really unanticipated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whole other.
I know. I mean, the layer of COVID over evacuations is just a whole nother ball game. You're right. And yeah. And I wanted to ask you to, you know, kind of going with what you just said about prioritizing family, like if someone was going through evacuation that had never experienced this before, whether it's ordered or authorized, like what other things would you say to them having gone through two pretty different types of evacuations?
Yeah. The first is give yourself space to feel it and not feeling an obligation to explain it to anybody. And just know what your family needs. Like it is, you know your family and what other people are doing, like allow yourself to know what's best for you and your family. For my kids, they want to jump right in. That like my kids need to jump right in and get going. The older two, the youngest one needs time to settle in and have her space. And that's what I need as well. I can't be going out and doing all the things and seeing all the people. I need time to close off. And I think acknowledging your needs, recognizing what you need in that time to find quiet and space in all that you're going through. I think that is my number one. Just, it will not fill, how do I say this best? It's not going to, there's not a model for what you need right now, right? There's not a textbook. So you have to create the space to figure out how to navigate this path and whatever that looks like, it's fine. Like,
yeah,
there's no need to buy it, so.
Yeah, I like that. And to even think that, you know, I remember when we were leaving Baku and hearing about leaving, I really, like, there's so much to process that I wasn't acting like my normal self. You know, like in my head, I was thinking I should be packing right now or selling some of this food that we won't be using. And all I was doing was texting friends, you and others, and like pacing my house. And I was talking with Angie last week before she was leaving Ukraine, and she was like, yeah, we're sitting on the couch watching The Bachelor. And I was like, it totally makes sense. Like, what else would we be doing when we're hearing this news that we have to leave our homes? And I just like what you said, that giving ourselves that time and that space, and it's going to look different for everyone. But the fact is, like, it's a potentially traumatic experience. And because of that, there's going to be all different kinds of behavior that comes out because we're coping with news that we weren't anticipating on getting.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking of people going on right now, going on order departure. And, you know, I know some of their schools are allowing them to go remote, and, you know, that seems like a great benefit and blessing, but at the same time, like, have to keep in mind, our kids just were remote maybe for 2 years already. Like, how are they going to manage that? What are they dealing with? And just to give them the space to, like, they're going to be okay. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So they didn't show up to class for a week. Probably can't continue that. What do we need to do? But it's okay. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fundamental, like, paradigm shift, right? It's like, our days are not going to look like they did 2 weeks ago when everything was normal, and that's okay. And yeah, that's great. Anything else that comes to mind with someone that you would, yeah, might be going through evacuation for the first time.
Just my heart's with you too. It's so hard. So
yeah.
There is an end.
Yeah.
Someday you'll know where you're going next and when. That's what we all want. How long will this last? Am I going back? When will my spouse be coming home?
Yep. And I just want to say, you know, in traveling on a lighter note, in traveling with you out of Baku and back to the States, I will say I was looking up to Sina for all the things that she thought to pack, knowing she could potentially be going into quarantine in the States. And what do you want in quarantine in a hotel room? Because you had scooters, you had an electric guitar, right?
Yeah.
Like, what else did you have? You had games.
I had games and Mark, like I had all those. I just had, if I'm going to be stuck in a hotel, what am I taking with me? And I was like, well, I don't need a lot of clothes. And yeah, games. I had a ukulele, an electric guitar. Every kid had a scooter. And I think I'm not really the world's most organized, best packer. I'm not that expat. I'm always throwing things together last minute, but I nailed my packing for that trip.
You did. I remember walking through the airport and just being like, I kind of wish I would have packed differently, because I was seeing the guitar and the scooters and I was like, they're going to have fun.
And then we didn't get quarantined, but we went into lockdown. And I was like, wow, we got what we need.
Huh. Yep. Yep. It's amazing.
It could have gone either way. I mean, scooters and guitars could have been the last thing I needed, but that one worked out for me.
Yeah. I just think thinking in general of expat spouses and the working spouse, I just have so much respect, like in general, for this community and like how resilient we are really in the face of adversity. And it doesn't look perfect. It's totally clunky. And like, I feel like I don't even know what I'm doing half the time, but to be able to pick up your family and land in a hotel in Washington, D.C., and just keep on living life and, you know, making things work and supporting your kids, it's pretty amazing. And just a shout out, I think, to our entire community and expats in general during these times of huge disruption. So let me think if I got everything I wanted to ask you. I just appreciate this conversation so much. I think we covered quite a bit of ground here. Did you have any last thoughts on the topic or anything else?
No, I mean, my mind is now like thinking I need to have like just record a chat with you for like my own personal memories about what we went through after COVID and that evacuation we had. It's not even this topic, but I'm like, oh, Annalie and I should just have for my own family to have someday just what that was like, because it was crazy.
Yeah, it's so true. It's our family history really in the making. And I feel like these COVID times are pretty unprecedented. You know, who knows what the future will bring, but they're definitely times to record and to remember what we've gone through and that we did it. I guess one thought that came to mind as you said that was, you know, when you're in it, it's very different than how you feel 2 years down the road, which I think, are we about 2 years removed from that Baku? Yeah. Which is so weird to think about. But I guess kind of circling back to just the times we've mentioned how hard it is, I just wouldn't ever underestimate the amount of stress that comes up when you experience something like that. And there's a lot of room to give yourself, like you said, time and space and a lot of grace. And the understanding, at least for me, I wasn't myself for a long time. And I was functioning out of a place of extreme stress. And I think just to remember that, like you said, it's going to get better. you're going to feel stable again one day. There's going to be that feeling of steadiness and groundedness, and that's still out there. Because it's easy to forget how I initially felt when we landed in Virginia. It's pretty rocky. So
there's hope and healing ahead.
Yeah, there is, no matter what your experience is. So, well, I appreciate this, Sina. Thanks for being open and being willing to share some of your personal experiences around this.
Thanks so much for asking me. It was a nice talk.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Take care, everyone. See you next week.